This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. My brothers and sisters, welcome again. Part 6 of the story of Musa alayhi salam. Last week, there was some audience who didn't get to hear it. So I'm just going to go a little bit backwards, recap on what we covered last week, and then continue inshallah. So Musa alayhi salam went to meet and receive. He went to receive the commandments of the first parts of the Torah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we know it to be called as Jabal al-Tur, the mountain of Tur. Al-Tur in Arabic also means mountain itself. So the scholar says it was a mountain named, just a mountain. Others they say it was called Mount Tur. But what we do know is the scholars, majority of the scholars agree that it was in Sinai, the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula is close to Palestine, in between Jordan and Palestine. It could be that the Musa alayhi salam first spoke to Allah, spoke to him first in Egypt or on his way to Egypt, or it could have been that same mountain. We're not very sure. So you might look up where this mountain exactly is, where this place where Musa alayhi salam actually Allah spoke to him and gave him the commandments. Nobody really knows for sure, but it's somewhere around Palestine, Jordan, Egypt area. There's even those who believe it's in Saudi Arabia, but only Allah really knows. So he went there and he was supposed to go with his people, but then he rushed to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى ثَلَاثِينَ لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِقَاتُ رَبِّهِ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةً Allah said, he made an appointment with Musa alayhi salam to meet with him for 30 nights plus another 10 nights. Why 30 nights plus another 10? Why not just 40? Why doesn't Allah just say 40? Well, the companions such as Abdullah ibn Abbas and other scholars, they said that 30 meant 30 of Dhul-Qa'dah, the second last month of the Islamic Hijrah calendar. Well, the calendar, they used to use it even before, but that calendar. And 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, therefore it is 40. Part of, so a full month part and part of the last month. The point is, it was meant to be 40 nights. And Musa alayhi salam went and started receiving the first parts of the Torah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there and then. It wasn't all of the Torah, it was part of it. And among them were what they call maybe the Ten Commandments, but the point is we agree with the Ten Commandments anyway, according to the Quran. It's nothing that the Quran doesn't agree with, we agree with them. And Musa alayhi salam asked Allah in that time to see him, but Allah said to him, you are not able to see me, not in this life. But look at that mountain over there, and if it stays still, then you will be able to see me. Good. But the mountain crumbled into pieces, and Musa alayhi salam fell unconscious from what he saw. I spoke about this in our last class, the class before last week, so the details are there. But what surprised me is that some people ask, if Allah is not material, then how can we ever see Him in paradise? The hadith of Prophet is in Bukhari and Muslim, and it's very clear that you will see Allah and nobody will have any problem in seeing Him. Well, seeing Allah is something that we cannot describe. But something close to the logic would be when you go to sleep, how do you see things when your eyes are closed? Don't you see things? We see things in our dream. And there are dreams that are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet told us that ru'ya can be from Allah, or then it can be a nightmare from the shaitan, or it can be from your subconscious mind. But the point is, you see things. Sometimes you even feel that you're there. How do you explain that? The soul is immaterial as well, but it exists within us. So when Allah says that you will see Him, Prophet says you will see Him, you will see Him. There's no need for us to go into all these details, because Allah didn't tell us those details. My brothers and sisters, but in this world you can't see Allah. Not able to. Allah has not created us in the form that we can see Him. So Musa alayhi salam gave up and he said, "Oh Allah, I believe in you and I know that you exist. And I did not ask you because I don't believe." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "I know." So Musa alayhi, you can refer back to my last talk. Then Musa alayhi salam, he received the commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a story about him that he was when he was fasting, this is true that he had to fast. But they say that he was supposed to be there for 30 nights and then his breath started to smell and then he started eating from the leaves of the tree so his breath can smell nice as he spoke to Allah and Allah spoke to him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "You shouldn't have eaten because the smell of the fasting person is better to me than musk. Now I'm going to add another 10 days. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is not really authentic. We don't know where this is from. And it's not, there's no authenticity to it. The point is Allah made 40 nights and that's it. There's none of this, he ate and then he made a mistake and all that stuff. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him was, "وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى," "What made you hurry up, O Musa?" And he says, "They are following me. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى," "I just hurried up so that you can be pleased with me." That's the righteous people love to rush to worship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, "That's fine. But your people after you, we have caused them a fitna. We have caused them a fitna. And there is a man called As-Samiri, he misguided them. We have caused them a fitna, and the Samiri misguided them." What is the difference between misguidance and fitna? Allah says, "We have put your people through a fitna, and the Samiri misguided them." That means there's a difference between fitna and dalal, which means misguidance. وَأَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي, the Samiri misguided them. And Allah says, فَإِنَّ قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ, we have given fitna to your people. What's the difference between fitna and dalal? Fitna and misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He does fitna on people, it doesn't mean misguidance. It means that He is purifying you. And the word fitna in the Arabic language, the original Arabic language, people used to always use it. When you find treasures or jewelry or gold, and then you clean it away from all the foreign substances and particles, the more you clean it away, the purer the gold you get. Is that correct? That's called fitna. So it's actually a good thing. Allah puts us through trials in order to bring out the best in us, for those who are patient. As for misguidance, the Samiri had misguided them. Allah did not tell Musa alayhi salam what he misguided them with. Musa alayhi salam was about to find out. So after he finished, Allah says the 40 days had finished. Musa alayhi salam returns to his people. Allah says, فَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. Every word in the Quran has a meaning. Allah said, and so Musa returned to his people after that, both with the emotions of anger, he was angry and sorrowful. How does a person become angry and sorrowful at the same time? The person who becomes angry and sorrowful for someone at the same time is somebody who cares for you and is responsible for you. I'll repeat. A person who gets angry and sad for you at the same time is a person who cares for you and responsible for you. Musa alayhi salam was both responsible for his people. He has to answer to Allah for them because he's got to guide them. And he was sad for them because he was caring as well. Prophets are always caring for their people and for everyone. So that's why Allah says, فَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. He was angry and sorrowful, sad for them. Why did they do that to themselves? He knows what's going to happen. This is terrible. Because they had seen all the signs, they had seen all the miracles, Allah had saved them. And now, what's happened? When he approached them, what did he see? In another verse of the Quran, there's many verses about Musa alayhi salam. He came and he saw them worshipping a golden calf. Ijn. Ijn means calf, which means like a teenager cow or a small cow. It's called a calf, Ijn. He saw them bowing and prostrating, worshipping a golden calf made out of gold. What happened? First of all, not all of the children of Israel were worshipping the cow, that calf. Right? And by the way, someone asked me a good question. Were they called Jews at that time? The answer is no. They weren't Jews yet. They weren't Yahud. Some of their children today that exist today, some of their offspring, they became Yahud. They decided to become Yahud later on. And we'll get to that inshallah in a few weeks. But at this point, they're called the children of Israel. And from them came out the Christians and the Jews and even some of the Muslims. It's Israelites. They're not Jews yet. Children of Israel, some of them worship the cow. So Musa alayhi salam, what does he do? He runs to his brother Harun. Why does he run to his brother Harun? Because remember, when Musa alayhi salam hurried up to meet Allah, he told his brother Harun to look after his people after him and not to let them go astray. So he runs to his brother because he's blaming him now for what they have done. And something interesting Allah says. He says that Musa alayhi salam dropped the scriptures that were on the rocks. He dropped them to the ground. These are words of Allah. He dropped them to the ground. Why is that important to know? Because what use are the words of Allah to the people if they don't even believe in Allah? They're not going to listen. First you need to teach them Tawheed and Allah before you can give them the message. These were commandments, by the way. They weren't telling them to believe in Allah and explaining Allah. They were just commandments. How can you accept the command wholeheartedly and sincerely from someone you don't believe in, you don't trust? So they're worshipping a cow, they're meant to be worshipping Allah. They're trusting a cow, they're meant to be trusting Allah. Allah saved them, they gave up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cheated their way. They cheated and they betrayed their promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened? Yes, I'm here. And then what happened? Musa alayhi salam, he was angry at his brother first. So he grabs him by his beard and grabs him by his forelock and he starts to shake him and saying to him, Ya Harun, why did you do that? Why didn't you come to me and tell me that my people have worshipped the cow? And then Harun alayhi salam replied by saying, Yabna Umma, O my mother's son. Why did he say, O Yabna Umma? Why not my brother, for example, my dad's son? Because the mother, is meant to be the symbol of care and mercy and compassion. He's reminding Musa alayhi salam to be compassionate with him. Yabna Umma, la ta'khud bi lihyati wa la bi ra'si. Calm down. Don't grab my beard and don't grab my head. Because he's angry, when an angry person is angry, they don't register very quick. Do you know that? Even Musa alayhi salam. So with an angry person, you've got to be very slow and careful and take your time in explaining. That's his saying, Yabna Umma, reminds him to calm down and his compassion. Don't grab my beard and don't grab my head. Specific, he actually mentions it all like that. And then Musa alayhi salam let him go. And then Harun said, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. I feared that if I went to you to tell you what had happened, only some of them were going to follow me and some of them were going to stay behind, and you were going to say to me, why did you come and divide the children of Israel and not wait until I return? That's what you would have said, O Musa, my mom's son. So Musa alayhi salam calmed down and he asked him what happened, and Harun alayhi salam said, I told them and I informed them and I warned them. And then he says, وَكَادُوا أَن يَقْتُلُونَنِي. They were almost going to kill me. I had no power. Musa alayhi salam was seen as the chief. He was strong. They feared him. Whereas Harun, they took advantage of him because of his leniency. Now, having leniency is not bad. And having strength is not bad. Nor is having leniency always good, nor is strength always good. But the people, the children of Israel, are a very unique type of people. They're a very stubborn people. They're very naive people. They had learnt about all the religion of the Egyptians, and they had inherited it. They don't know any better. And they were very primitive. A lot of them couldn't read or write. Right? And they were still just lost a little bit. So they needed someone who was firm, like Musa alayhi salam. As for Harun, his leniency was suitable for who? For Pharaoh and his people. Leniency is good with the tough people, and toughness is good with people who are naive and foolish. You need to be firm with them. Sometimes with our children, we need to be firm but kind. Okay? Musa alayhi salam was like that. So then Harun said, "Wala tushmit bi al-a'da." Don't let these enemies feel pity for me. Alhamdulillah. So Musa alayhi salam comes up to the people and he says to them, "What happened? Why are you worshipping? Afatala alaykum al-amal? Did I stay too?" He's being sarcastic. "Did I stay too long? 40 days you couldn't last, and straight away you're worshipping a cow? Didn't my Lord, alam ya'idukum rabbukum wa'adan hasana? Didn't Allah promise you a beautiful promise?" What was the promise? That He was going to make you victorious and leaders. Where? In Palestine. He was going to take you to the Holy Land, Al-Aqsa, and He was going to make you leaders over there. And save you from Pharaoh. Why? Afatala, it's too long, 40 days, you're not patient enough for Allah's promise to come to terms? Afatala alaykum al-ahdu am aradtum an yahilla alaykum ghadabun min rabbikum? Was it too long? Or do you want Allah to be angry with you? You want the anger of Allah? You want to call upon it? فَأَخْلَفْتُمْ مَوْعِدِي. And so you betrayed my promise. And their only reply was, "Oh Musa, no. We didn't mean not to fulfill the promise. We were following you. We were coming to the mountain. We were going to follow you, as we said. But you see, the jewelry that we borrowed from, you know, the Egyptians, we used to have neighbors and they gave us some jewelry as gifts and we still got them. And they were too heavy, you know, a lot of jewelry on our backs, and we thought we've got to get rid of it. And since you told us it's not good wealth, we got it and we buried it. Just so that we, you know, we got too heavy, we got too tired. That's why we took long to get to you." And then they said, "And anyway, it was a Samiri who made the calf, not us. And then he tricked us." It's a pretty lame excuse, but that's the only thing they came up with. So Musa alayhi salam turns his attention to that man, a Samiri. A Samiri is not his name. It's his nickname. A Samiri means he comes from a place called Samarai. He's from the lineage of one of the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, down the line. And he used to have a job with the Pharaoh in Egypt. He was quite technologically advanced. He was quite smart. He used to invent things. He was like an engineer, right? A very smart engineer. But that knowledge got to his head and he started to think that he is better than the people, he's more intelligent than the people. So Musa alayhi salam says to him, "What's your story? Why have you made this tragedy?" And the Samiri answers Musa alayhi salam with arrogance, as if he's too smart for him. So he says to him, he goes, "Look, I can see with my knowledge things which they can never see. Like, I'm too intelligent for these people. I don't really need," in other words, he's saying, "I don't really need your guidance as much as they do, because I'm already ahead. So I can get my own knowledge and figure out my own stuff. I can give fatwas by myself and I've got enough knowledge." That's what he's saying. وَأَخَذْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَثَرِ الرَّسُولِ. "I took a little bit of your knowledge, فَنَبَثْتُهَا. And then I kind of used a bit of it and got rid of the rest. I didn't really need it because I'm," in other words, saying, "I'm too intelligent." Now the word here, he says, "I took a handful of the Rasul," of the messenger. Who is the messenger? He is Musa alayhi salam. Why is the Samiri talking to him like that? Why doesn't he say, "I took knowledge from you"? He says, "I took it from the messenger." Well, that's a form of rudeness. Rudeness. It's like in the Arabic language when you say, "O king, I disobeyed you, I'm sorry." That's respect to the king. But when you say, the king says, "Didn't you hear my commandment?" And you say, "Yes, I heard the king's commandment." It's like when you're talking to your dad as well, your father or your mother. And they say, "Didn't I tell you not to do that?" And if you want to be rude to your dad, you say, yeah, I heard a dad saying that. Yeah, dad did say that. And you're talking to your dad. That's very rude. So you say, yes, dad, I heard you say that. So what he's doing is saying, yeah, I heard a little bit of knowledge from the messenger. What's the messenger? Like as another person. So that was very rude to Musa alayhi salam. It shows you the arrogance. Some people, they get arrogant when they get too much knowledge, information. Brothers and sisters, ilm in the Quran, ilm, real ilm, whenever ilm, knowledge is stated in the Quran, it has a different meaning to what normal people think. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the hour will not come until there is increased knowledge, but more ignorance. Kathur al-jahl, in another hadith, yakthur al-ilm. Knowledge is increased, but also jahl, ignorance is increased. How do you justify between them? Ilm sometimes means information. So you know a lot of stuff, like the internet now. You can type anything, you know information. But understanding the information is a whole different thing. In the Quran, when Allah says ilm, it means know a lot and you're deep in understanding. There's a big difference between a person who knows a lot of stuff but doesn't understand any of it, and a person who knows it all and understands. And then there is hikmah, wisdom, and that is to know a lot, to understand it deeply, and to know how to use it and apply it. That's ultimate knowledge. So Musa alayhi had ultimate knowledge. This Samiri, he only had knowledge like us today. You look up on the internet and just find information, and you think you're, mashallah, scholar of the world. Cut and paste, I know it all. But you don't. But some people don't understand what they're cutting and pasting. They put it in the wrong place. They don't understand what they're saying. So this is a danger. One friend of mine said, if you're half a scholar, you'll mislead people, and if you're half a doctor, you'll kill people. That's what happens to us now. Musa said this to the Samurai. And the Samiri, when he answered that way, Musa realized the guy is too smart for himself. And no matter what Musa says to him, if all this time, all these miracles he's seen, all this knowledge Musa has already given him, how can it be any better than that? And still the Samiri is too arrogant to listen. It means there's no purpose, there's no point of trying to make him understand. So instead, Musa uses a different reply. He says, is that so? Okay. He says, فَإِنَّ لَكَ فِي الْحَيَاةِ أَن تَقُولَ لَا مِسَاسِ. Okay then, Samiri, we're going to let you go. So long as you live in this life, you can say whatever you want. لَا مِسَاسِ. No one's going to come near you. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to stop you. Say whatever you like. And that's what you say to a person who continues to say false after false after false, and never accepts the truth. The false itself kills that person. The false itself exposes that person. Person talk too much. People talk too much, they fall. Right? That's why if somebody continues to accuse you of things and you can't stop them, you have no control, they go all over the internet, keep excusing you. Khalas, rely on Allah, move away. And this person will fall one day. Because people are saying, this is just what, you know, this person just keeps talking. They've got issues. And this Samiri had issues. So Musa Azam said, okay, very well, go, say whatever you like. I'm not going to bother with you anymore. Your false will kill you. And then he goes and he says to him, and then what? But Samiri, actually, I forgot to say, Samiri says, when I made this cow, he had knowledge from the past, as I told him, he was an engineer or something like that. He goes, and after I made the cow, I was able to make the cow have a sound. He started making a sound, khiwar. Khiwar is a type of sound. From the way I'm saying the word, you can understand. Khiwar. So the cow made kind of like a noise. Maybe he made him hollow in such a way that wind would pass through his metal body and produce a sound. Now you're talking to primitive people, the children of Israel, that don't know anything about this, and they thought, wow, it must be a god. Look, the cow is talking. This is what happened with Musa alayhi salam. I mean, with Samiri. And so Musa alayhi salam, what did he have to do? He had to show the children of Israel who were naive. He had to prove to them, like the way you prove to a child. He had to show them. So what does he do? In front of everybody, he says, oh yeah, Samiri, and see this Lord of yours, this God that you created? Watch what I'm going to do with it. He grabs it, rips it apart, melts it, burns it, and throws it in the Nile. He said, if this was a God, can I do that to him? Look at what we're going to do with your God. You understand? Adding to that, brothers and sisters, I need to mention something very important. When the children of Israel started worshipping the cow, a Samiri said one thing other than the sound that he made on the cow. Just said one thing and it convinced them. He said, oh, you know, Musa, he went, he forgot about you guys, And his God is actually over here. He's not there, fantasy. He just forgot. Look at it. Here it is. He didn't know any better. And it only took that much. The children of Israel go, oh, Samuel, you have a point. That's what happens. People need to learn. You need to educate yourself. You need to be wise. You need to read. Not just settle for anything that we read or anything that we see. Some people, they're very educated, big for professors of knowledge of things, and then it's probably they come and believe in superstitious things, ridiculous things. You think, how? Well, that's how they are. Probably they were raised with fairy tales and they're only used to that's where they find their comfort, to hear fairy tales. I don't know. Some Muslims, for example, we see on the internet, someone posts something. We forget that there's Photoshop. We forget that there is a Movie Maker. We forget that there are all these programs that can manipulate anything. I mean, stuff they make on it. Right? They show you all these things and we believe in them, some of us. Don't just, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry comes and tells you something, we believe in it. Like, for example, when people, they say, SubhanAllah, they keep posting it up, a cloud that looks like the name of Allah. See how Allah is showing us that He's here. Allah doesn't need to show you this. The fact that there are clouds is a miracle that Allah is here. Allah already told you in the Quran, وَيُرْسِلُ السَّحَابِ. He is the one who sends the clouds. Why do you need a name? See, this is the same. The children of Israel were like that. They needed more. SubhanAllah. So my brothers, sometimes they read this. When I was a child, I used to believe this. See these marks on your palm? They go 18 plus 81 equals 99 names of Allah. Subtract them 63, the death of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It just coincided. They can make up. They can make up any number and attach it to something. Why do we need this, Ya Rabbi? This is ridiculous. Now, brothers and sisters in Islam, we already have, alhamdulillah, enough. Anyway, so a Samiri goes on his way, starts getting lost. No one wants to listen to him anymore. Then what happens? That's okay, brother, leave him. Let him run around. Here. You want this? Oh, yeah. That's the only way. Give him. Look, he's gone. It's like he gave him the world, mashallah. Oh, you want more? I don't have any more. Nothing. So what happened next? Musa alayhi salam, he goes and says to them, okay, those who worshipped the cow, those who worship the cow, Allah commands you to kill yourselves. So what? Just be careful. Yeah, that's okay. So what happened is Musa alayhi salam says to them, you have to kill yourselves. And the way Allah said to kill them, it doesn't mean suicide. They turned on each other and they had to kill themselves. Allah had never commanded anyone to do that except the children of Israel. Right? And Allah is just and fair, and I cannot explain it. Allah is full of wisdom. So they started daggering each other. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, enough. And there's a narration, I'm not sure if it's authentic or not, but that Musa alayhi salam complains, Ya Rab, my people, it's enough bloodshed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh Musa, why are you upset? I have only taken their souls back to me and I've forgiven them. They are in paradise, they are happy. Everybody's going to die at the end of the day. But these guys, they have to compensate. If we don't do this, your people are going to lead everyone else astray. Because you are, Musa is the best of messengers right now at this point. And these are the people who are going to lead the world. You can't have that. Anyway, this is what happens, and it's in Surah Al-Baqarah. Next, my brothers and sisters, Musa then goes to the Alwah, to the commandments of the Torah. He lifts them, and now they're ready to accept what's in the Torah. They came back to their senses, right, after that big lesson. You would think they did, but instead, they said, we will not accept them until we see what's written in them first. Won't accept Allah's commands until you see what's in it first. Yes, if we like it, we'll follow. If we don't like it, we're going to have to talk a little bit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the children of Israel that after Isa alayhi salam, they changed the Torah. Allah used to say, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعَ. They used to change the meanings of the words from what they really mean to mean something else. As for the Christians, they changed the meaning and the wording, right? Along just before the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, that's what the Jews used to do, or the children of Israel did, which later on became from them Jews. So then Allah lifted a mountain over their heads. وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. We lifted the mountain over your head. That's why I said Tur means mountain. We lifted the mountain over your head. Not the mountain where Musa spoke on, another mountain. Because Tur means mountain. We lifted the mountain over your heads, it was hovering above their heads. And some Mufassirun say, the mountain shook and they knew it was about to fall upon them, like an earthquake. Whichever is true, Allah is able to do anything. And then they got scared. And Musa alayhi salam screamed, "Khudhuhu bi Allah Musa alayhi salam said, "Khudhu ma ataynakum bi quwwa." Allah says to you, take what's in the Torah with strength and might and sincerity and honesty. Don't fiddle around with it. And that's when they accepted. And finally they accepted. And they were, what were they? They were commandments of worshipping one God. Don't murder. Don't rape. Don't commit zina. Don't steal. Don't do riba. These things. And so they finally accepted. Now there were 70 among their leaders, whom some people came up to them and started doubting whether Musa alayhi salam was actually speaking to Allah or not. So a group of them come along and they said to their leaders, can you guys go with Musa and go and see? What if he's not telling us the truth? That was in secret. Not all of them, in secret. And you'll always find, subhanAllah, people who are ignorant like this. So 700,000 of those people, children of Israel. So the 70 went to Musa and they said, yeah, Musa, our people want to make sure we'll come with you just so that we can observe ourselves and be witness and make the message even stronger. Musa alayhi salam had to be patient with them. And Allah says this in the Quran, we sent 70 of them with Musa to meet us. Now these 70 were the most righteous and pious of them all. These 70 were the most religious of all the 700,000 people, 70 of them. They were the best of the best who went with Musa alayhi salam. So they went with him, and Musa alayhi salam would not let them enter the holy valley. Al-Wadi al-Muqaddas Tuwa, remember? He told them, you wait outside. And all they heard was they heard conversation, voices which they cannot explain. Allah, we cannot describe him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was speech, real speech. After they heard it, Musa alayhi comes out and they said, we're not going to go back with you, just like that. All we did was heard speech. How do we know that Allah was talking to you? We will not return until we see Allah jahra with our naked eye. Don't give us seeing Allah with our heart. Don't try to twist it around seeing Allah with our mind. You know, some people, they say to see something like, I see love. Love is not in front of you, but you see it with your heart, yeah? Like feelings. They said, حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We want to see Allah, as it says in the Quran, with our naked eye, like that. Like this. جَهْرًا. Like a tangible thing, like this. Like you see this, like you see the wall. We want to see Allah. And obviously Allah is not like that. It's not material like this. And that's when, خلاص, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He bestowed His anger upon them after all this time. Where is their iman? And he sent Jibreel alayhi salam down, he screamed, and they all died. Except Musa alayhi salam. They died. Musa alayhi salam sat there, and it's in the Quran. He made dua and cried to Allah. He says, oh Allah, if you want, you can destroy us all. If you want, you can keep us all. But oh Allah, I am the messenger and you sent me. And I hope that I haven't failed. And if you're not angry with me, please, I don't care. It's okay. But for me to return back with them alive is better for my message and for your message, oh Allah, for your worship. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously is teaching us through the messengers how to call upon Allah. Allah knew what Musa alayhi salam was going to say anyway. But He wants to show the people also how Musa is caring for them. And how Musa comes from Allah. And Allah wants to teach them at the same time, this is cannot be done. You're the most righteous of them all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then raised them up again. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. Allah says, then we raised you off after you died. And that's when they said, Astaghfirullah, we believe in Allah, and they repented. They returned. And subhanAllah, many of them believed in them, and many of them were still weak in iman. Children of Israel, very, very hard people, very. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, لَقَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَصَبْرٍ. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be harmed by his people. Sometimes they'd say to him, for example, once a man said, look at him, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes the money and he doesn't give it out fairly to the people. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this, he said, لَقَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَصَبْرٍ. Musa alayhi salam was harmed more than that by his people, and he was patient. I will be patient. So Musa alayhi salam then went on with them. As they were going on their way to where? Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa. In the Quran al-Muqaddasa, without going into too much detail, I'll just tell you straight away. Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa means the Holy Land. Where is the Holy Land? If you follow the context of the verses, I told you, I can go into detail, but it'll take us a long time. To explain to you that, the Ard al-Muqaddasa referred in the Quran, you've got to put all the verses together and the hadith, and you find out that Ard al-Muqaddasa is none other than what we call today Al-Quds, Palestine, Al-Aqsa. Allati barakna hawlahu, it's in Surah Al-Isra, that describing it. So Allah promised that the children of Israel are going to enter the holy land of Al-Aqsa, and it's going to be given to them to be the authority over it. But obviously they had to be under which? Under Musa alayhi salam and Harun. It wasn't given to the Jews. It was given to the children of Israel at a time when two prophets whom we believe in are leading them. So effectively, the Holy Land was going to be given to the children of Israel. And who's from the children of Israel? Musa and Harun. So to the prophets and their people. You understand? It wasn't for the Jews. It was for two prophets and their people, the children of Israel who we love and adore. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, it has been written for you. Now I made a mistake saying given. It was not given. Please erase that. The ayat in the Quran do not say Allah has given it to you. The ayat say, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah had written it for you. There's a difference. A promised thing that has been written for you means that there has to be something that you need to do, but it's guaranteed you'll get it. كَتَبَ, whenever you hear the word كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, such as, I'll give you an example. In another verse in the Quran, it talks about fasting. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. When you hear the word كَتَبَ again there, it has been written upon you. Written means that I've commanded you to fast, and I will give you the reward of fasting, and the fasting will be your privilege. It's a great thing, but you have to fast it. If you don't fast it, is it written for you anymore? It's not written for you anymore. So the word kataba, always remember in the Quran, it means that it requires something from you. You have to do something, but it's guaranteed to you. It's like me telling you, just sit the exam and I will pass you. Don't worry about anything, you just sit it. But then you go, I'm not even going to sit it, man. I won't pass. How am I going to pass you anymore? You see what I'm saying? Allah says to them now, that Musa and Harun said to them, Ya Qawm, Udkhulu al-Ard al-Muqaddasata al-Lati katab Allahu lakum, wa la tartaddu ala adbarikum fatanqalibu khasirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that Musa and Harun took them to the Holy Land. When they got close to it, outside, they got close to it, they didn't enter it yet, Musa and Harun stood up and said, O my people, enter the land that has been written for you. Didn't he say enter? Therefore they have to do something, they have to enter it. It has been written for you, and do not go back. Don't go back on your word. Don't. Just enter. And then if you don't enter it, then you will be losers. You know what they said to him? قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى. They said, O Musa, O Musa. You can see Allah saying, they said, O Musa, O Musa. They're not happy. يَا مُوسَى, يَا مُوسَى. إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ. There's giant people in there. They're too tough for us. وَإِنَّا لَنْ نَدْخُلَهَا حَتَّى يَخْرُجُ مِنَا. We will not enter it until these giant people get out of it. They were called the Amalik. Amalik means giant. It doesn't giant like, it's not like, the big friendly giant, the cone, BFG, not like that. If you know, the little kids know. They were giant, meaning like basketball players, they were big. They were normal people. And they had taken it over and they were sitting in there. And the children of Israel said, no, there's giant people in there. We're not going to enter until they get out. What do you mean? Don't enter until they get out. فَإِنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا فَإِنَّا دَاخِلُونَ. Once they get out, so they said it again, they have to get out, then we will enter. Two big problems here. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell them to fight. He only said, enter. If you enter, it's yours. You're not going to fight. There's no fighting. You don't have to worry about it. But it's as if they didn't hear it. No, they're going to fight us. Allah is telling you, enter, it's yours. No. Until they get out. Second problem. They want to get the people out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to get the people out. He said, enter it, the people will stay, the citizens. What have they done? Nothing. But I'm going to give you authority in the land. You're going to work in there, you're going to be respected, you're going to rise, you're going to have positions, people will respect you. I'm going to give you a good life. A respectful life different to what you had. You were peasants. No, they've got to get out. And Allah does not oppress. Why should they get out? You're not allowed to exile people who live, they've got their homes and everything. But they wanted to oppress. SubhanAllah, how they forgot about their... So Allah wanted them to enter. The Amalek, the people were going to stay in there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to make them afraid, like fear them and respect them. And they're going to live in harmony together. No problem. And the Israelites are going to be in power. No fighting, nothing. No. They've got to get out, otherwise they'll fight. SubhanAllah. And this is where it shows you that their belief in Allah was not strong. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا. Two men who feared Allah and Allah had blessed them. Who were they? Musa and Harun. They were the only two men. No one else in the children of Israel stood up. Only Harun and Musa stood up and they said to them, أُدْخُلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْبَابِ. Listen, just enter the door. There was a door of Al-Aqsa, big door, and a wall. Then he said, just open the door, step in, one step. And it's yours. فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمُهُ فَإِنَّكُمْ غَالِبُونَ. As soon as you just enter, then you're victorious. That's it. That's all you had to do. Wallahi, that's all. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا. I mean, rely on Allah. He's telling you, إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Ah, only if you really do believe in Him. Maybe the problem is because you don't believe properly. What did they reply? قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى. يَا مُوسَى, يَا مُوسَى. إِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا أَبَدًا. Oh no, we will never ever enter it. مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا. As we told you, so long as they're in there, we ain't going in, mate. We ain't going in. Allah, but how much stubbornness. And then they said something so disrespectful and hurtful. فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ. You and your Lord go. فَقَاتِلَا. Fight together. إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. We're going to stay right here sitting. Once you and your Lord beat them, you get them out, we'll go in. This is kufr. It says in the hadith, the narration by, well, from one of the companions of Abbas, it says, and Ibn Mas'ud said, the way they sat down was they sat on their bottoms with their legs out. Let me see. No one's sitting like that now, because so I don't pick on anyone. And they had both their arms on the back with their palms like that. It's not haram to sit like that, but this is how they sat. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Harun and Musa gave up and they said, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي. Oh my Lord, I cannot control and possess except myself and my brother. فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Separate us. We are not equal to them. We don't want what they want, oh my Lord. Forgive us. So then Allah said, قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. Okay, very well. Then now the Aqsa is forbidden upon them. Forbidden upon who? Upon that 700,000 that was with him. أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. For 40 years, يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will be lost in the land. They're not going to know how to get out. فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Don't feel sorry for the people who are corrupt. 40 years means that the whole generation, that 700,000, is going to be gone. And they're going to give birth to new children. And Allah is telling him, in other words, this generation, forget it. They're just lost. Then they'll never get better. But the next generation is going to be better. 40 years, because a new generation comes. So what happened to them? They went out, khalas, and they kept moving around in this land called Ard al-Tīh, the land of losthood. They did not know how to get out of it, and they were stuck there. They say that their navigators would go around, whoever knows how to navigate, they look around, and they return back to where they started. They could not get out and they were lost in there. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, don't worry. You're going to stay in here for 40 years. I'll keep sending down the man, that substance from the sky. You can make your bread and your oats and everything with it. I'll keep sending you birds of different types. You can eat its meat. And then he said, oh Musa, I'll finish it with this. Go to the edge of the mountain. They went to the Tur. And there was a massive rock, probably the size of this table or maybe bigger. And Allah said to Musa, hit it with your staff, with your stick. He hit it, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, and 12 fountains came out of the rock, because there was no water in the land. No fountains, no wells, nothing. They need to drink. So he hit the rock with the staff, ضرب بعصاك الحجر فانفجرت منه اثنتا عشرة عينا. 12 fountains came out of that rock. Why 12? Because there were 12 different tribes. And they are still known today to the Jews, and they named the cities after them in what they call Israel. We don't acknowledge Israel, but they call it. And they're named after the tribes. One of the tribes' names is their ancestors, Reuben. Another one is, one of them is Yusuf and Binyamin. And so they were named after them. Al-Asbat, meaning the great-grandchildren of Yaqub. Anyway, these people came out, and there were 12 tribes. Every tribe had to drink from their own fountain. No one is allowed to drink from the other tribe's fountain. And what happened was that they carry the rock and the fountains would stop. The only times the fountains would work is when you put the rock on the ground and then the fountains would come out so that nobody can steal the rock or do anything. And obviously they're in the lost land. Everybody had to drink, right? And that's how Allah SWT looked after them. But unfortunately, and I'll finish it with this completely, he said, but then they got tired and sick of the stuff God was sending down on them and the birds and the water. They said, ya Musa, ask your Lord to give us something else. You know, we got tired of all this stuff that he's sending. It's beautiful stuff. What do you want? Because we want to plant onions and garlic. Musa said, you want something worse than what you had in good? Take it. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, next week, I'll start from here and talk about this dua, what it means to us when Allah says how people want that which is worse for them and they don't know any better when Allah had given them blessings that don't want Allah's blessings. And this is what the children of Israel do. Allah blessed them and they didn't want that blessing. So inshallah, that's next week and we'll finish off the rest of the story of Musa. Hopefully next week will be the last part of it. I thank you for listening. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.